all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800.
We want to welcome to the spotlight on the Association of Michigan Military Organizations, or AMMO, today. As you know, Veterans Radio America has a partnership with AMMO to bring you a quick look at a Michigan military organization that supports the history of military service in the state of Michigan. And we encourage you to go visit AMMO on Facebook and this particular organization by visiting it. But we want to welcome Kevin Walsh, the president and CEO of the Yankee Air Museum. Kevin, welcome to Veterans Radio again.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here, as always.
Well, we're really happy to have the opportunity to talk and talk a little bit about what's going on in this weird year at the Yankee Air Museum. Tell our listeners what they ought to be looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't the year we expected or deserved. It goes across the board for everybody. But as being a nimble and adaptive organization, we were able to, follow, orders from our governor and our health department and figure out a way to re-engage folks. Obviously, we were closed, from our mid-March point. It actually closed a little bit early before even the shutdown. And then we stayed closed a couple weeks after just to make sure that we had everything right. Because what we didn't want to do is we didn't want to create an environment that would be at all questionable or dangerous for the spread of the virus, for our team members first and foremost, but also for our guests. And we've been able to re-engage at quite a significant level, which has been very exciting, to get back and show people, the great things that we do, but in a different format. So it's taken on a whole new look of operation, and couldn't be more proud of our volunteers and team members to how we've adapted.
Well, the word museum puts a few people off, and I really want to get across to folks that this, the Yankee Air Museum, which everybody in the state of Michigan should know about, maybe because of the aircraft it has or the Thunder over Michigan it runs, but give folks some sense of the size and uniqueness of what we call the Yankee Air Museum.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. We certainly have that traditional museum aspect about us, but certainly dynamically the way we run the organization is very different than a lot of traditional museums. And as you mentioned, the Thunder over Michigan Air Show, not just the marquee event for Yankee Air Museum, but it's a marquee event in Southeast Michigan. It embodies that the spirit of celebrating our military past and present, and obviously bringing American aeronautics to the forefront in what we think is one of the most dynamic ways that you can celebrate the aviation industry and those that have worked and served in that industry. Thunder is just one example. The other piece to us that is so different than most traditional static museums is the aircraft that we fly, but also that we give rides on. So right now we've transformed our flyable fleet, the aircraft that actually fly in the collection, to make sure that people are able to ride on these. So there's five different airplanes that we now have in the historic flying aircraft collection that people can pay and get up in the air and actually go for a ride in them. And there's so few museums that you can get into an artifact and experience the artifact live. And that's one of the things that makes us, again, very, very different in the fact that you can fly on a World War II bomber. You can fly on a 1928 trimotor. You can fly in a Vietnam era Huey helicopter. All these different experiences and what we call air adventures, because they are, it's an adventure, which, again, just breaks that mold of museum as you think of placards and artifacts and dim lights. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it at all, because we have that static aspect of it, but we want to be more dynamic than just a static museum.
Well, I can tell folks, because I know folks who've done it, I've done this, if you need a gift for that guy, maybe it's dad, granddad, uncle, who's hard to find a gift for, get them a gift certificate to fly in one of these Yankee Air Museum aircraft. They will smile for a year. It's an incredible opportunity. As you said, I've never heard it called an air adventure, which I think it absolutely is and is a great idea. And it's got to set you apart, really, from all of the other similar military museums in the state of Michigan, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that crosses all genders, all cultures. It's a visceral experience. When you're sitting in a Huey helicopter, it doesn't matter who you are, and the doors are open and you're strapped into the helicopter and you go for a flight, for as cheap as $99 a seat, It is just something that you just can't get anywhere else, and riding in something that, served our nation, but also it's just this visceral experience of flight, unlike anything else. We go to Detroit Metro Airport, we get on a commercial airliner, it's climate controlled, it's insulated, it's quiet, it's smooth riding, and that's flying today, but we take you back in time, and the flying back in time is so much more, I just keep coming back to the word visceral, where, the skin of the bombers is only the thickness of a quarter. So you smell the aviation fuel burning and the roar of the engine. There's no insulation, you're wearing ear protection. It puts you in a period of history, a moment of history is captured by that ride. And like I said, it doesn't matter who you are or what your background is. When you get to go for something that's that exhilarating, it stays with you, but it also gives you that appreciation to say, wow, I didn't know it used to be like that. But what is really neat is that point in time was a very, very exciting time in American aeronautics as we were learning and developing aircraft.
Well, as we come to the end of the spotlight period here on the spotlight on an ammo organization, and we're talking to Kevin Walsh, the president and CEO of Yankee Air Museum. Kevin, tell our listeners a little bit about your website present and how they might learn more about what's out there. And if they're going to take my advice, they're going to go get that gift card and make somebody's day this holiday season.
Absolutely. Well, if you don't have a good web presence now, you're so far behind the eight ball. And that was one of the things that we really took a great product and made even better during the pandemic. You're able to do all the things that you would normally do, buy tickets to come to the museum, buy the air adventure rides, buy tickets to the air show. But for those that don't yet want to engage physically at the site, there is something called Creativity Hangar that was born out of the pandemic. It was always a kind of a small section on our website, but became incredibly robust as we have all sorts of activities for all different age groups on the actual website under the Creativity Hangar tab, and kids can engage. Like just for an example, just past Halloween here, a few days ago, there were stencils and things that you could download, cut out, and do your pumpkin carving if you wanted a Huey helicopter or a Cobra helicopter on your pumpkin. But some of them are crafts and some of them are learning tools. So there's a lot of things that you can do to join in the Yankee Air Museum's activities. It doesn't involve coming physically to our location. And of course, we welcome people to come and engage in those activities online and check it out at yankeeairmuseum.org.
There we go. I was waiting for him to give you the .org because you really got to pay attention, listeners, on what the right website is. So it's yankeairmuseum.org. Kevin, we appreciate you spending a little time with us in the spotlight here. And we'll continue with some more discussion. And one of those things I want to talk about, Kevin Walsh, President and CEO of Yankee Air Museum, is your volunteers. Because you guys have this unique relationship between the airplanes and the volunteers, and I'd love you to talk about that.
Sure, be happy to talk about that. The volunteers are the lifeblood of our organization. There's no possible way that the few staff, and it's a very, very lean amount of staff that actually are employed by the Yankee Air Museum. We have over 250 volunteers weekly that make all sorts of aspects of our museum move forward, from the flyable aircraft, the historic flying aircraft collection, and maintaining and flying those aircraft and keeping up the safety standards that that we put in place, to taking care of the precious collection of the museum and being that repository for history. It is unbelievable what the volunteers, the power of the volunteers are. And then you come to the Thunder Over Michigan Air Show, there's over 750 volunteers just to execute that event on that weekend. And what is common amongst all of them is the passion for the organization and the passion to meet the mission. They're incredible people. I can't say enough about them. We celebrate them constantly in our social media. We celebrate them, with annual banquets. We thank them day in and day out for their service because it just wouldn't happen without them.
Oh, absolutely. And you've got an incredible volunteer. Some of them highly skilled working on the planes. Some of them just able-bodied seamen or just the grunt who can swab the deck, which is where I'd fit in. But let me pick up where you kind of left off on the Thunder Over Michigan, which as somebody who's looked up in the sky many times and been awed by the planes you've brought in, tell us more about Thunder Over Michigan and, more importantly, what's going to happen to it?
Thunder Over Michigan will prevail. Let me back up. It's a show that has executed 21 events so far, 21 years. This was to be our 22nd year this year, 2020. The show actually began as a symposium. It actually began as a veteran symposium, and the airplanes were just backdrop. And we never envisioned that we would have the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds, and we'd have these world gatherings of warbirds that would set records that will never be set by any other aviation event in the world. We never envisioned any of that. It's just gotten to the point where it started to grow and it became exponential in its growth. And I go back to the volunteers. Everyone wants to produce this incredible quality product. They have this pride to produce this product. I'll tell you, it's incredible to watch them execute this show and nobody gives up. we don't give up. This year was different. This year, at the end of the day, we had to think about our own team safety and our own public safety. But in the background, we were working incredibly hard on a model for the future in case there's any residual effects into 2021 or 2022 of the pandemic. And the formats, it may look a little different, but we're going to be able to continue on with the Thunder Over Michigan Air Show for years to come without any issues. But again, depending on where we're at and what level of public safety needs to be implemented, we will make sure that that is implemented. And if it means a little bit of a format change, so be it. Because having Thunder is important to not only the museum but the region too. We're going to struggle through this year regionally without all our special events, but the region needs that lifeblood of special events. And I'm talking about food festivals and air shows and concerts and all the different types of special events. We also feel it's important to get back to it.
Well, and one of the things Thunder Over Michigan does is it creates a focal point where, and I've seen this on the grounds where, whether it's mom and dad or grandma and grandpa or the uncles are walking the little kids around who again are looking in the sky and are awed. And it relates back to the concept that you guys are involved in, which is education and the mm-hmm. education and the STEM issues that results from kids thinking about how do you get the plane to do that? And right. I want to fly like that. And dad or mom says, well, you better study math. So talk to us about the importance of education at the Yankee Air Museum and some of your collaboration that's going on in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. The education right now with the Yankee Air Museum has never been stronger in our partnerships with Ann Arbor Hands-On Museum and Lesley Science Center. We actually have a program together, the three entities, called Unity and Learning. And it's important that we pooled our resources to maximize the programming that we could offer. Now, at the air show, it's education/inspiration. There's nary a pilot around that when you say, well, how did you get into aviation? And particularly those that serve in our military, 85-90% of the time, the answer is, my dad, my mom, my grandma, my uncle took me to an air show. And the air show was the catalyst for a career changing path. Even at the youngest years, that impression that it leaves is so profound that it carries with them in the back of their mind saying, and you hear about the members who are interviewed with the United States Navy Blue Angels, and they always talk about, I used to watch them. I never thought I'd be one, and that's, and of course the drive, if the drive is there and you're inspired to go after those goals, obviously there's an educational path to do that. And I think our men and women in the military do a great job of making sure that when a small child comes up to them and is inspired, that they put that seed into their growing cortex, and they say, hey, math, science, engineering, they're all those important things that are going to get you to where I am standing today. And they do a great job of inspiring kids, but also give them a little nudge down the path of where to go. But bigger than Thunder Over Michigan, the programming each day at the Yankee Air Museum, where we have school groups come in, that again is that same sort of path of, making sure that if kids want to go into aeronautical activities for a career, that they know the important, the important career points to touch on to get to where they want to go.
One of the other things that Yankee Air Museum has done over the last couple of years, and we're talking to Kevin Walsh, who's the president and CEO of the museum, is you've been bringing in speakers in to talk on related topics. And obviously, that had to stop under COVID. But tell us why you thought, as an organization, that was important. And again, I'll ask the same question. Are we going to be able to do this in the future?
I think we are going to be able to continue on with this. I think this is a long and certainly painful interruption in programming, you know, for all of us in all aspects of our lives. But I think we're going to be able to get back to, you know, filling a room with people who want to hear stories, want to hear the stories directly from those that lived history. And we felt it was important to make sure that that was part of our adult programming. Now, obviously, it's not just for adults, but, you know, when you talk about historic presentation nights, it is primarily geared for those that are history buffs, that want to hear from experts or those that actually lived during a period of time or, you know, flew a certain aircraft or was involved with the production of, you know, some type of aircraft. It's a special time. It's a special moment when you get to sit in a room and it's a limited capacity, you know, and you get to hear firsthand about history. We love docent-led tours. We love hearing people tell us the things about history we never knew. And I don't think anybody finds that a turnoff. I think everyone loves to hear the anecdotal stories and they love to hear it. But when you can hear it and ask questions directly of those who have lived history, that's pretty special. And we feel that as part of our programming, we need to not only execute that program, but archive those talks and make sure that, again, those stories are we're the repository for history and make sure those stories get into history and something that can be referenced back to, when we're doing any sort of archival research.
And that's really where this full circle comes, because we're back to making history alive, whether it's understanding the planes that flew before us in the military, understanding the stories of the men and women who served, and bringing this historic presentation night out for the adult programming to really make that history alive. And I think what you've been doing there, Kevin, is great at the Yankee Ear Museum. As we come to the conclusion, can you tell folks what the website is again and how they might either volunteer or as importantly, if they decide this is a great place to make a donation? I'm sure they can do it online.
Yeah, absolutely. So the one single portal is our website, yankeeairmuseum.org. If you're looking to support us in a volunteer capacity, there's contact information at volunteers at yankeeairmuseum.org. If you're looking to make a contribution to support us in our big aeronautics center project right now, where we're building a brand new home for the Flying Historic Aircraft Collection, or if you want to become a member of the museum and get engaged in some of the activities that are there and that are member only, yankeeairmuseum.org is where to go. Even for air show tickets, everything you need to know, find out about us, and all the different ways to engage us is all there in one single site.
Well, and I'd point out that Yankee Air Museum is a member of the Association of Michigan Military Organizations, which supports the history of military service here in the state of Michigan, and which Veterans Radio America has this partnership to bring you information about these organizations. So you can plan, hey, next time I'm going to be in the area, I ought to stop in and look, see what's going on. And we'd encourage people that once things allow and you're making those road trips again, or friends and family are coming in from out of state, you not only go to like the Ford Rouge plant to see how a car is built, but go over to Ypsilanti and see at Yankee Air Museum what's going on there. You'd like those kind of folks to come on through, I suspect, Kevin.
Absolutely. And since June 30th, Jim, we have been open to the public. We require that our team members wear masks and social distance. But one of the advantages that we have as a museum is we have a lot of space, because we have a lot of big artifacts, you know, in the way of the airplane. So, one of the things that that kind of works really well and is very safe to visit the Yankee Air Museum is the amount of distancing you're able to do. You can engage in a tour, a docent-led tour, if you'd like to, or you can self-tour through the museum yourself. And even through this whole pandemic, we were able to continue ride programs with three of our aircraft, where we were able to social distance and lower the loads. And we were actually flying people all through the summertime and into the fall aboard the aircraft, again, with masks, social distancing, you know, and executing this in a very safe manner and enjoyable manner. So, you know, for those that are looking for entertainment and something to do, something to bring the family to, it's a fantastic place. It's also monitored capacity wise, so that we are never packing the facility. Big open airy. It's the perfect pandemic place to visit.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
Never thought I would ever say something like that about
right.
our great institution, but you know, big spaces are kind of the big thing right now.
Well, thank you, Kevin Walsh, President and CEO of Yankee Air Museum, for spending some time with Veterans Radio today.
Thank you, Jim. Always a pleasure.
We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or by going to veteransradio.net, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.net. And before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. First up, we want to thank National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. It was established to certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses in the government and commercial or corporate marketplace. You'll find out how they can help your business by going to NVBDC.org. We also want to thank Eisenhower Center. It's a brain injury recovery center. And in particular, it's after the impact program goes beyond awareness campaigns and state-of-the-art imaging to help veterans, first responders, and athletes. Learn more about EisenhowerCenter.com. They're located in Michigan and in Florida. And finally, we want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans fights for veterans' disability rights all across the nation. You can reach them at 800-693-4800 or on the web at legalhelpforveterans.com. And finally, we want to welcome a new sponsor to the program, which is Veterans Business Outreach Center, which is located in Flint, Michigan, and covers Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. The center is ran and operated by veterans to help other veterans, National Guard, Reserve, spouses expand and grow businesses. You can find more about them by going to vetbizcentral.org, 810-252-6200. And now on to our programs.